I should get a standing ovation for just choosing to walk up those steps and preach from up here. All right, everybody smile. Okay, if this goes wrong, if it goes bad, at least I can say everybody smiled during the sermon. Being faithful in small things. To understand or to kind of get an idea of what we're talking about, I think we also need to look at what it would be like to be faithful in big things or great things. How many of you have ever been faithful in something big? I'm not asking you to raise your hands. Just think about it. Have you ever been faithful in something really big? I think maybe we all aspire to that. And when I'm not preaching at you, I'm preaching at me, okay? These are some things that I need to be thinking about. What are the big or great things that we could be faithful in? What are the great things of faith that we wish we had or were known for? We always think about, or I do anyway, I think about people like Moses or Abraham or even Paul and Peter and Timothy and Barnabas. And we look at the great things that those men did because of their faith. And the word faith here is pistis in Greek. Pistis. It means to have faith in or to be convinced of. Are you convinced that God created everything? You can go ahead and shake your head if you want to. Are you convinced that Jesus is his son? Then you have faith. Okay, that's kind of what faith means. The word belief is real close to it. It comes from the root word for belief is the same root word for pistis. And pisto means faithful. Anyway, one of the things that we could say was it would be a great thing was being faithful to God, right? To be faithful to God, like a husband is faithful to his wife. We kind of know what that means. So what does it mean to be faithful to God? Jesus said, when he was asked what was the greatest commandment, what did he say? You love God with your heart, soul, and strength. You love God with everything you've got. Okay? So being faithful to God, putting nothing before God. Some of our ideas of great things or big things that we are faithful in may not be exactly correct. Some think that being a faithful member of the church is a great thing of faith. And usually what do we mean? I've heard this before. What do we mean when we say, oh, they're a faithful member? They're always here. It just means attendance, doesn't it? Is that a great thing of faith? Some people think it is. What about being a famous preacher? Anybody aspire to be a famous preacher or a teacher or to bring lots of people to Christ? How many of us wish that we could do some great thing for God? In the dash, we wish we could do some great thing for God. It's not wrong to aspire to that, is it? But we don't need to beat ourselves up about it either, do we? Because I'm going to go over some things now that we can be faithful in that are small things, or we may consider them to be small. But we're going to see how that works out. Because Jesus in Matthew 17, verse 20, he said, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, that's not much, is it? If you just had the faith of a mustard seed, you could tell that mountain to move from there to there and it would do it. Man, I've never witnessed that. But I'm telling you, he says, if you are convinced enough that God is who he says he is and that I am who I say I am, if you're convinced enough, if you have that kind of faith, just of a mustard seed, then you can achieve great things, or great things can happen because of your faith. What are the small things that we can be faithful in? Number one, I wrote down here, are how we treat other people. How we treat others. We need to treat others like Jesus taught us to, don't we? We need to use him as our example of how to treat other people. You know, Jesus reached out and touched a leper who probably hadn't been touched in years. He wasn't afraid to put himself out there for people. A friend of mine, I'm going to quote him a couple times this morning. His name is Johnny Royal. He's a preacher over in Franklin, Texas, where my kids live. I call him Johnny Ringo. I had trouble remembering his name, his last name, for a while, so I just called him Johnny Ringo, and he kind of got used to it. But Johnny tells a story about, well, I guess I should preface this. The question is, do we encourage or harm? Johnny tells a story about an associate minister, I don't know, somewhere in South Texas, and that was a friend of his, and this guy, he met this man in town and befriended him and spent a long time getting to know the guy and building the guy's trust, and then he taught the guy the gospel of Jesus, and the guy was baptized into Christ. Became a Christian, which is a great thing. A couple weeks later, this guy's up here waiting on the Lord's table. But he just wore what he had, and one of the members there afterwards said, you know, I like it that you're waiting on the Lord's table, but next time wear a tie. Or just don't do it. Guy never came back to church. Never came back to worship again with that congregation. So we need to be careful about whether we are encouraging or harming. He also said, and you guys have probably heard this, he may have even said this, we need more young families in the church. And that's a true statement, isn't it? I mean, we all need young families growing up, raising their kids in the church. We've heard that. Maybe we've even said that. But how many of you have ever said, we need more persecuting Christian killers in the church? Well, that's kind of what they were asked to believe after Saul was converted to Christianity. When Saul came back in Acts chapter, and you'd read about it in Acts chapter 9, when Saul came back to Jerusalem, everybody's going, that's the guy, that's the same guy that was putting everybody in prison for being a Christian. Now you're wanting us to accept him in the church? And who stepped up? Barnabas, the encourager. Barnabas took Saul by the hand and led him to those people and said, look, this man is a Christian now. and he explained the story of how Saul was converted. And so, in that way, Barnabas was an encourager and not a harmer. Another small thing that we may consider small, a thing that we can do by being faithful in it, is being a biblical father or mother, wife or husband. Think about how much better our church, our community, our country, the world would be if we simply decided to do that small thing because of our faith. We wanted to be a biblical husband and father, or a biblical wife or mother. And the next one comes right along close behind it. Teaching your children and leading them to faith. Doesn't sound like much when you say it fast, does it? But think about the difference that the church and our society would be if we taught our children the truth and led them to a strong faith in Jesus Christ. Man, wouldn't it be great? Everybody smile again. I think I'm getting too serious here. It would be awesome, wouldn't it? Another thing is found in Romans chapter 12, verse 15. Another thing that we can do, a small thing that we can do or be faithful in, is rejoicing with those that rejoice and weeping with those that weep. We need to be able to recognize when something good has happened to someone, even though it may not have anything to do with you, but they're happy. Be happy with them. Encourage them by being happy with them. And if they're suffering, if they're mourning, if they're feeling down, be with them then too. I'm not telling you have to feel down, but be with them. Sympathize and empathize with them. Let them have your shoulder to weep on. The next thing is just giving a cool cup of water. Have you ever had an opportunity to do that? I only see one or two heads nodding. Every head in here should be nodding. Not because you found somebody that was hot and thirsty. It means more than that. It could mean helping somebody to get just a couple of gallons of gas in their car so they could make it to work. Or it could mean paying somebody out at the checkout line because they're short a couple of bucks. I mean, give them a cup of cool water. Make their day. Okay? I think the famous phrase today is pay it forward, okay? We're encouraged to refresh people in that way. I'll tell you, we don't understand, or we rarely understand, the importance of our actions. You may act a certain way and go on with your life and never maybe never even see that person again. But truth be known, we either can build up or tear down with our actions. And I think it's important for us to consciously choose to be faithful in these small things. Since it's Mother's Day, we're going to get out of here before too long. I know it's been pretty short, but I'm doing this for free anyway. In 2 Timothy, you might turn with me if you got your Bible there handy. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, since it's Mother's Day, I want to mention a couple of these examples. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, now this is Paul writing to Timothy. He says, "I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I know that same faith continues strong in you." Then over in chapter 3, verse 15, he says, well, I'll start in 14. He says, "But you must remain faithful to the things you have been taught. You know they are true, for you know you can trust those who taught you. You have been taught the Holy Scriptures from childhood, and they have given you the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Christ Jesus." Once again, here in chapter 3, Paul says, your mom and your grandmother taught you from when you were little bitty. They taught you the Holy Scriptures, and now you're able to understand and accept the Messiah because of their teachings. What a mother and a grandmother. That's what I was talking about a while ago, taking that responsibility of a small thing because of your faith and teaching your children and leading them to faith. What a great example. Let's turn now to Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21, verse 1 through 4. While Jesus was in the temple, he watched the rich people dropping their gifts in the collection box. Then a poor widow came by and dropped in 2 small coins. "I tell you the truth," Jesus said, "this poor widow has given more than all the rest of them. For they have given a tiny part of their surplus, but she, poor as she is, has given everything she has." I confess, we are not told whether this woman was a mother or not. We do know she was married, okay? And she'd lost her husband. And Jesus was sitting there, and I meant to look up, I've forgotten the name of the door. There's a door on the east side there, pretty far up to the temple. But inside here is a place by these pillars where they had the collection boxes. And the rich people would like to go in, and some people say they called it the trumpet. Some people say they had a funnel, a big funnel, where they put their coins in and it fell down into the box. But some people think this has something to do with blowing the trumpet when you're giving, you know, giving alms. They would drop their coins one at a time into that funnel and listen to them roll down. Everybody else could hear it too, right? And so they're dropping their money into the collection box. And their only reward is the praise that they got for dropping those coins. But this poor widow came, I couldn't find them. They're not lost, I just misplaced them. I have 2 widow's mites, Roman coins. They're real small, copper or brass, or they're real small. And I picture this widow as Jesus is standing there inside the door by those pillars, watching people come and put their money in the collection box. I see the widow reach and set those mites, those little coins, and set them down and let them slide down into the collection box without drawing attention to herself. Now, once again, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but how many of you have ever given everything you have? I'm not saying these things to make you feel bad. I'm saying this widow, literally, Jesus said, gave everything she had. It's all she had to give. Most people wouldn't even bother to put two mites in. Doesn't even make a difference, does it? Well, some 2,000 years later, we're still remembering that woman. We're still remembering that poor widow who gave everything she had to God. Now, you might call it being faithful in a small thing, but to Jesus, I think he said she has been faithful in something great. So as you live your life this week, don't concentrate on trying to do some great thing for God. And that sounds weird coming from a pulpit, doesn't it? It may happen, okay? And glory to God if it happens. But I want you to concentrate on being faithful in the small things. Those things that you may recognize if it makes a difference, and you may not. But it's not about, hey, look at me, I made a difference. It's about, are we being faithful to God? Are we convinced enough that he is who he says he is, and that Jesus is who he says he is, to live this type of life and to do these small things? You may need the prayers of the church this morning. There's a lot of times that we lean on each other when we're having difficulties, or we're needing encouragement, or you may want to put on Christ in baptism this morning, and that's a wonderful thing too. But if you need anything, please come forward while we stand and sing.